Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
And welcome to the NXT TakeOver Preview. I'm Adam Wilborn from What Culture, joined by one of the Dudley Boys, Michael Hamflett from What Culture, to look ahead to tonight's NXT TakeOver 36. But before we get into it, if you're a fan of this sort of thing, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts from, for daily wrestling podcasts where we not only review NXT, but also Raw, SmackDown, AEW Dynamite, AEW Rampage, pay-per-views. We have interviews, roundtable discussions, and a roundup of the week complete with a bloody good quiz, of course, on wrestle culture. As I said, though, joined by Michael Hamflett to look ahead to TakeOver this evening. It's been a bloody busy weekend, even though we are recording this before everything goes down.
Yes. Punk and Hulk Hogan at Rampage was unbelievable. Didn't expect a lot. We've talked at length about the Roman Reigns trajectory. I think you were big into beat Cena, beat Brock, beat Rock. But I didn't see Cena winning and then them going for the triple threat with Austin and Rock at Survivor Series. I don't know how Roman gets back into the title picture, but the 40,000 went wild. So there we go. And surely, after those entrees, NXT TakeOver is ready to be the main course, isn't it? Or is that just the main event? Because you've got your starter, your main, and your dessert, and the main's too big, and you don't really want the dessert, and you're starting to feel sick, but it's happening, and they're shoving it in your face, whether you want it or fucking not.
The thing is, like, we've been hot and cold, I think it's fair to say, this year on NXT. And the build to some of these matches haven't been great. Some of them have been quite enjoyable, I have to say. Yeah, but on paper, this should be a sensational takeover. You've got a match that's already got 5 stars before. You've got the return of Samoa Joe. You've got a feud between two former best friends in Raquel Gonzalez and Dakota Kai. You've got the $1 million bollocks, which I love. And you've got the end of the Undisputed Era, effectively. It's a hell of a card on paper, this.
It's a really strange one, yeah. I can't decide if this is an indictment of NXT's booking or an indictment of people's lack of interest in NXT now, because you're right, it's a card that looks better on paper than it's felt watching over the last month. It's a card that even in our NXT reviews, I've tried to make a point of saying that it's, you know, it's the card that you would expect to see from the television that we've been watching. All of these matches, you don't look at this and see a bunch of match graphics. They have told the stories to get you to this point. And yet it doesn't feel exciting. It is the victim, let's be honest, and we're saying this before we've even recorded, and yet I feel like the shows have happened, and yet I feel like I can say this with confidence, it is the victim of being placed on a weekend where simply bigger things are going down. You know, that's that. I think that's a both objective and a subjective take. So it will be sort of the forgotten stepchild of the wrestling weekend, I guess. But maybe that'll benefit it. Maybe substantially reduced expectations will help. As you've pointed out, and as we'll get to, there's at least, I would say, 2 matches on here that could be show stealers. There's plenty of evidence to suggest that the 2 out of 3 falls match won't be what we all want to see, I think, out of these two wrestlers. But then again, they're both supreme workers. So maybe they'll elevate a stipulation that has tanked matches before. You know, it's like, it's a lot of ifs, a lot of buts. And I don't think this is necessarily going to leave anybody like walking away from the show thinking NXT's back. All of those rumors about it being ruined, you know, not to be worried about. It's all good again. It's not. This is a brand in trouble. It's a brand in flux. And I just think Yeah, the best hope this show's got of succeeding is, I think, the lowered, almost non-existent expectations of it. It stands to be the sleeper hit of what we can call wrestling's biggest weekend of 2021, not the standout that maybe TakeOver used to be once upon a time.
Yeah, it's a sad indictment of where we are, like you say, that we're reflecting it like that. I have no doubt that this could be a hell of a show, though. Intriguing to see when NXT goes next with all the talk about 4 weeks of tapings or whatever it is, but we'll deal with that in due course next week. And let's start with the NXT Championship match, which, you know, seems weird because 99% of the time you'd assume that would main event the show. I would assume the 2 out of 3 falls match probably will do that on this, but I'd love to know your thoughts. We'll start talking about Karrion Kross and Samoa Joe because, well, it's such a... It feels inevitable, but also... who bloody knows what's going on with Karrion Kross, I suppose. I was going to say, it feels inevitable that Samoa Joe leaves as NXT champion, and it probably is the right booking decision, but will he?
Yeah, I think he will. I know what you mean about that kind of the unpredictability element is not particularly because of the story that they've told. It's just because it's hard to work out exactly where Karrion Kross fits in WWE at present. It's not as if they've positioned him as, I mean, they're getting there, I guess, but it's not as if they've positioned him as the terrifying new threat of Monday Night Raw. The main event crew on that show are not looking over their shoulder now that Karrion Kross is on the roster. He has just settled in rather bleak fashion into life on the Raw undercard. So on one hand, you think, well, that's his permanent place now, time to get the belt off him. On the other, it's like, well, if that's all he's doing, do they really need to take the title off him in NXT? Can he not just do both? So that's where it's unpredictable. But I do think for the good of Kross and the belt, it's got to go to Samoa Joe. Karrion Kross can never have that clean break on Monday Night Raw. He just can't. But getting rid of the belt offers him a little bit of a fresh start. It's almost as if he's in stasis between the two shows at the moment. And if anything, having that belt has become as much of an albatross around his neck as Vince McMahon's withered mind. You know, it's... Just still having it almost probably reminds Vince McMahon that he's not his permanently yet. And maybe once that's gone, maybe then WWE will commit to him, or Vince McMahon will commit to him in the way that some of Karrion Kross's fans want them to. You know, they want to see him presented in the same way he was when he first arrived in NXT. Samoa Joe as the NXT champion, again, is a cool visual, if nothing else. The guy that, much like Finn Balor, has returned to the brand where people loved him once before as champion, and he's come back and he's done it again. It'll get people talking. Again, this is not the weekend to be competing for column inches in the, you know, wrestling scape. I say it'll get people talking, not that much and not that loudly compared to other things that are likely to get them talking. But come Tuesday night when there's no other competition for conversation and then a graphic flashes up, we hear from new NXT champion Samoa Joe, maybe somebody will just be like, oh yeah, oh, I kind of want to see what that's about. So I think there's intrigue with Samoa Joe as NXT champion in the short term. And I think it does give Karrion Kross that start proper, maybe on Monday Night Raw. So, like, do the sensible thing and book the title change.
And how do they do that whilst simultaneously protecting Karrion Kross? And what length of match do they do, I suppose?
90 seconds, twist of fate attempt into a roll-up with the feet on the ropes. Like, obviously, of course, that will be Triple H's concern, is to preserve the aura of Karrion Kross. He doesn't book people into the ground. But I wonder if he's already half off the boat and he doesn't give a toss. I wonder if it's just, like, in all seriousness, looking at how Triple H and NXT at large have been dealt with lately, if indeed Paul's still got the old pencil, maybe he just books a clean finish for the guy that he's actually got on Tuesday night and doesn't worry too much about Vince McMahon's problem on Monday. 7 minutes, Kikina clutch. Yeah, like, nothing that can get too boring, because I think Karrion Kross's longer matches have really struggled in that regard. Something that expresses the supposed violent hatred between the two of them, of which we've seen flashes of in their pull-aparts in CWC, and Karrion Kross getting choked all the way out of NXT in very much the traditional write-off. It just so happens that he's made the jump first.
Let's move on and talk about the NXT Women's Championship. Raquel Gonzalez defending that against former friend Dakota Kai. This is one I do hope gets a fair bit of time, because certainly with, especially with someone like Dakota Kai in the match, they have the potential to steal the show here, don't they? Considering that it's been a bit of an afterthought on TV.
Yeah, And much like this takeover itself, I hope that these two can benefit from lowered expectations. The separation has felt rushed. It's felt a little bit clunky in its execution when, for the longest time, Gonzalez and Dakota Kai were kind of managing this one themselves. That's not to say that there wasn't creative investment. I'm sure there was interviews where the whole purpose was for them to talk about who Gonzalez is fighting this week, when really what we want the fans to be looking at is the tension between the two. You know, like, I'm not suggesting that all of that was improvised. It's probably been like, on the docket for the longest time, but just the execution hasn't felt great. I think what took a lot of the air out of the balloon was the turn taking place on a taped show. So people had, you know, a knowledge of it beforehand or a visual in the mind of maybe how it would have looked, and it diffused it a little bit when it finally aired. So hopefully, yeah, this is a big standout performance from Dakota Kai. We've had a lot of them before. I expected to lose, but Raquel Gonzalez could very much do with a win, not just that sort of solidifies her as champion, but solidifies her as the potential star that she looked on the way to winning that belt. I would argue that from winning the title against Io Shirai to right now, she's not had a match as good as any that she was having on the chase. So fingers crossed Dakota Kai gives her that here. And again, like to mirror the points from the men's match, maybe this is it for Dakota Kai. She's gone 50-50 with Aaliyah in the big buildings. Maybe they've taken a look, but ignoring them results, they've liked what they've seen, and Dakota Kai's time is now as well. Being honest, upon defeat, there's not a lot for her to do left, so I wouldn't be opposed to her getting the call.
Yeah, I feel like she'd be perfect on the main roster. And like you say, disregarding match results against Aaliyah on main event or wherever it was, yeah, I think putting over Raquel Gonzalez, making her look like the dominant champion we've willed her to be the moment she took that title, sort of thing. And hopefully just reinforcing, I assume, the babyface turn, because it hasn't really been that distinctive for Gonzalez, has it?
No. I think the spoiled, I guess, nature of the turn probably didn't help fans who were just watching week to week trying to stay invested. It probably didn't help them want to get behind her. Yes, Dakota Kai is a long-standing heel and has jumped Raquel Gonzalez from behind as a way to get a title shot. But yeah, I would like to think that this match goes the extra length to establishing that she is the good guy. Babyface turns when the heel turns on the babyface are rubbish, because that's the worst possible start for a character's life as a good guy. Oh, I'm good now because the bad guys didn't want me around anymore. I always go back to Triple H kicking Randy Orton out of Evolution for this example. You know, like, why get behind him when the villains are like, oh, we don't like you anymore? It's, you know, this like this ridiculous way to start life as a hero. So yeah, hopefully the match does the job, and then it's on to straight up heel opponents for Gonzalez. Good guys versus bad guys. The dynamic should favor her, and hopefully this is the start of something better for her going forward, because I do expect her to win. I don't think they surprise us with a Dakota Kai victory here, if just to switch it back next month or something.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
So we've got one title defense, one title change. Let's talk about the NXT UK Championship. Can Ilya Dragunov be the guy to end Walter's reign? I mean, unintentional busting open aside, I thought he looked sensational on NXT this week. And we've already got the blueprint for how these two can just go out and batter each other and really put on a show doing it.
Yeah, it's the most unpredictable match on this card. If only because while Walter's reign as UK champion, I would always argue, hasn't been prestigious. It, like, the count, the day count, whatever we're up to, is nothing but a number, really. You know, he didn't get to defend it a lot when he first beat Pete Dunne, and then we had the pandemic. So this is the sort of match, as was the original Ilya Dragunov match, that does go some way to making the reign feel prestigious. Defenses that you can remember, the likes of the Ciampa match being another one from earlier this year. I'm just not sure now is the time. NXT UK is permanently in the mud, but is sinking deeper after the Enfield sponsorship that made the footballers look like the wrestlers and vice versa. That roster, as of yet, are so low down Nick Khan's firing priorities that nobody has disappeared. It surely needs a champion like Walter to give it the slimmest veneer of mattering. And, like, I don't want to discredit Meiko Satomura, by the way, as the women's champion. I think she deserves a nod in that regard as well. We've got, having two credible champions is just about the only thing that this show can hold on to. You know, I don't imagine they've even got any free lanyards to give out to those on getting on the BT bus now. There's nothing in that studio. There's absolutely been stripped of everything that, that could possibly matter other than Walter, and I guess other than memories of this match. And yet, Dragunov has lost to Pete Dunne. So if he was to win the title, Pete Dunne would be arguing that he should get the first shot. Maybe that was put in place to set that up. He's bled for his art after a total banger with Roddy Strong that maybe was there to let people know you're going to get a bit more of this guy and you're going to enjoy him. And his chemistry, like Walter's, meshes well with the few people that do come in NXT to make a difference. I think it's super, super tough to call. I'm going to go with Walter simply because I think there are a number of crowd-pleasing results on this show, and Walter will be cast as the heel in this one. The Ilya Dragunov will yet again be tasked with slaying the giant. And I think elsewhere on this card, it's quite babyface friendly, and I think they'll look for this one to be the one where you're willing Ilya Dragunov to just get over the line, but he can't do it. He just cannot stop Walter. And I just looking up and down at the other results, it seems like one of the ones where you can give a heel a win.
Yeah, I've got to agree with you. 868 days it'll be on Sunday.
It is. But, like, Ciampa, Dragunov, and tell me what else has really mattered from the Walter title run. 800 odd days.
That's a very valid point. I think you're right. I think Ilya Dragunov, I mean, just look at the last match. He didn't look at that and go, what a loser. He was valiant in defeat and what have you. And he just, you know, just couldn't overcome this monster. I think Rampage is going to be the one to Rampage Brown is going to be the one to take the title off Walter eventually. I think that could well be another five-star match if they book it right. He's obviously former WCPW star, so I'm completely biased, but those two beating the crap out of each other will be great. And like you say, just looking at the rest of this card and the way we're going to go forward and book it, you're probably spot on there that they aren't going to have as much as they probably want the audience to go home ecstatic. Yeah, it's just, I don't see it happening. I see Walter like, and them saying, oh, he's running close, but who the hell's going to stop him now, sort of thing. And then, yeah, maybe in 6 months we'll have Rampage versus Walter on another takeover, which would be fantastic. Right, let's talk about my favourite match on this card. Not Adam Cole versus Kyle O'Reilly, but of course, the Million Dollar Championship match. It is going to be LA Knight defending it against Cameron Grimes, the stipulation being if Grimes loses, then Ted DiBiase must become LA Knight's butler. Will this leave me happy? Will it leave me incredibly sad, Hamflet?
You're going to be very happy. You're going to be over the moon.
Yes.
It's a nice stipulation. Ted DiBiase has put all of his faith in Cameron Grimes. Looking at him, it doesn't look like he's got the money to invest, so faith is going to have to do. And we know, to be fair, he's got plenty of that. He's a pastor. But do you really need much more of butler stuff? And wider question, as a Cameron Grimes mega fan that you are, do you really need a great deal more of Cameron Grimes versus LA Knight? They have at very least peaked this angle just about at the right time. They've had matches that have over-delivered. Ideally, they have one more here and you get a happy ending. And already, I will say, if this feud ends on Sunday, as I believe it should and will, with the Cameron Grimes happy ending, and he doesn't take the $1 million title, he wins it, but he gives it back to Ted DiBiase, and that disappears as the prop that it's been useful being. Credit has to go to LA Knight for one of the surprise hits of WWE, NXT, however you want to call it, from the guy that strolled on to a pre-show from Impact and had us all going, oh, Christ, have they just got nobody left to sign from PWG? He has had one of the stronger years in NXT, I think, over-delivered in the ring, giving people exactly what they would have wanted in the promos. I eagerly await you undermining everything I've just said with one of his famous deliveries as I finish talking. But that's what LA Knight has gifted you and all of us in 2021. You can still have it. It's okay. And yes, I think Grimes will win. I think DiBiase will be salvaged from having to be embarrassed by weeks of more butler skits. I just hope the match is good because they've honestly, they've surprised everybody, I think, with the quality of their work together. And I'd like it to go out on a high.
All right. Cheers to us. Yeah, I think exactly what you just said there. I still want them to do that spot where LA Knight low blows Cameron Grimes and he's just got a massive wad of money protecting his kid. That, I think that's a great spot. But I love the way you booked this and the way, yeah, Grimes doesn't need to then be the $1 million champion because it's like, does he keep defending it? Is that now an active championship on NXT? You don't need to do any of that. Look, he's there. You go, Ted. Off you go. Like you say, I think we've gone to the end of it with all this. And I think it's raised the stock of both men in LA Knight and Cameron Grimes. And yeah, we talked about it when they first were fighting for the $1 million championship that maybe it's better long term if you put it on LA Knight and then have him grow up. And it has turned out to be the case. And like you said, I've just got to echo what you said about LA Knight. We know the performer, both in ring and in comedy stuff that Cameron Grimes is. But we were anxious, let's say, when LA Knight was included in all this. But I think he has either played the straight man or the bully or whatever it needed to be in each scenario, spot on. And yeah, the interaction with Ted DiBiase has, yeah, I mean, it's weird because it's kind of been forgotten about by a lot of people. But I think taking this whole thing from beginning to end, I can't really fault much of it, if I'm honest. And this is the spot where you conclude it all. Yes, hopefully, carry down to the moon is going to be $1 million champion, or at least win it back to give it to Ted DiBiase. Right, let's conclude with the end of an era. Kyle O'Reilly versus Adam Cole. 2 out of 3 falls match. The first fall, traditional wrestling match. Second fall, street fight. Third fall, if necessary, it will be. It definitely will be. Is the steel cage, of course. How do you see this one playing out and the future of one Adam Cole?
I mean, I'd just love it if it wasn't necessary. I would give the biggest pat on the back to NXT if that third fall wasn't necessary. What is this match and what are the implications of this result? Are the implications of this result, Kyle O'Reilly wins the big one, yet again is reheated for a title feud, for example, or is now finally established as a top guy on NXT? Or is it that Adam Cole has left NXT on his back? Because it feels like the result isn't in doubt, but it's what that result represents, you know? Kyle O'Reilly has to win. It's a rubber match, but it's not. The one he won was the one that didn't count, as Adam Cole would like to say. So he's got to get that victory that he can absolutely pin up and say, look, I have done this thing. He's lost too many big main events to choke here. So I think from a narrative point of view, even if we knew nothing of Adam Cole's contractual status, we'd be saying the same thing. You know, like this is absolutely Kyle O'Reilly's time. I think O'Reilly wins the second fall and Cole wins the first.
Yeah, I think that's normally traditionally the way that goes, isn't it?
Yeah, and then obviously he beat him in the steel cage. The knee drop off the steel cage, perhaps, as the finish. The big one. Plants it right through his face, I don't know. What is this for Adam Cole? Is this simply an opportunity to put his friend over? What's he going to do next? You know, who's he going to feud with? Or is it because he's on his way? Whether that be to AEW or just out of NXT. That's truthfully where the intrigue is. And I don't know. It's NXT. They know their audience. It wouldn't be the worst thing to play up to that as well. Just have the commentators say something. Who knows what possibly comes next for Adam Cole? Maybe Kyle O'Reilly wins, the cage is raised, and Adam Cole is left there flat out and kind of looks at the audience, neither smiles nor looks sad because he's too cool for any of that. But we all know what this is. And he walks out and that's the end of takeover. I don't know. The dream is under 30 minutes. I don't think they can do it. So I'm not saying this. I'm saying this to will it into existence, though I'm not saying it with belief that it'll happen. Do not NXT TakeOver Toronto this.
No.
Gargano and Cole. Do not hang weapons off the cage or stick them to it with sellotape or whatever it is. They'll find a way to sneak a table or something in there anyway. They can't help themselves. Don't Shawn and Triple H this, because you did it enough at the last TakeOver and that was one match with one fall. This has got three. I would love them to be a bit more economical with the time. This is a five-match takeover, and the best five-match takeovers tend to go between about 2 hours and 2 hours, 20 minutes. If this goes 40 minutes to an hour, you are dealing with like an hour and a half for the rest of the card. That includes entrances, that included the requisite time for Walter and Ilya Dragunov, for Raquel Gonzalez and Dakota Kai. Why? Do you know what I mean? Like, why either make the show longer than it needs to be or take time off two of the bigger matches on this card? Please, please, please keep it lean and it stands a fighting chance.
And there's a way around that. I think you have Adam Cole maybe lose the first fall, but just because he uses a weapon and goes, right, there you go, I can use him now if it's a street fight, and just batters him and then gets the fall back perhaps. And there you go. You've got two of your stipulations straight out of the way and you just go to a steel cage match relatively swiftly within 15 minutes, let's say.
Smart as well. It's smart on Adam Cole's part. Like, I'd love them to subvert all our expectations and have him waffle Kyle O'Reilly with a chair three or four times, takes the DQ, pins him easily, and then thinks, well, let's be a piece of piss over the cage. And then you have the competitive match from there. I think that's stupendous booking, solves all the problems, and potentially gives us a great match. Do that. Thanks for listening, NXT. Do that.
It's exactly right. And it's going to be, I think we all agreed that we... convinced that Kyle O'Reilly obviously is the one who will win this feud. Where Adam Cole goes next is, if I'm WWE, I'm throwing, especially having looked at the go home segments for this, I'm throwing all the money and all the offers of main roster championships or whatever it may be at him as possible, because I mean, I think you're right. His time in NXT is probably over, whatever happens, but I really don't think you can afford to let someone like that go, especially on a weekend such as this, although we're recording this on Friday afternoon, I will say that. But let us know your thoughts ahead of NXT TakeOver 36. Who you think is going to be standing tall at the end of it all on Twitter at WhatCultureWWEWatch. They can follow both of us. You can follow Michael Hamflett at
Michael Hamflett.
Follow me at Adam Wilborn. Follow us all at WhatCultureWWE. And whilst you're there, make sure you subscribe to What Culture Wrestling on either iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts from for daily wrestling podcasts. Quite a fair bit of stuff out at the moment, and it will be continuing to be like that over the next few days, I sense, as well. But for now, this has been the NXT TakeOver preview. My thanks to Michael Hamflett. Thank you for joining us, and we will see you soon.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.